Let's find our text this afternoon. 2 Corinthians, we're going to launch from chapter 5 as we have been, but then we're going to be looking at a couple of verses over in chapter 7 as well. If you're able, let's stand together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is where we'll find our text. Everybody ready? All right, let's pray, and then we'll look into the Word together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather around your Word this afternoon to sing your praises. I pray that you'll do a work in our hearts, that we would go into the highways and hedges and compel others to come into your house and to hear you and to believe in you and to call on your name. Please help us to be the ambassadors that you've made us, to live that out in our lives by the power of your Spirit. Give us a burden for those around us who do not know you. Help us to care for their souls as you care for ours. Forgive us and help us and just do a great work in our hearts today. Lord, I know all of us want to see others saved. Just help us to do that work that you called us to bring that to pass by your gospel and by your Spirit. Please bless your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Please be seated. We are, present tense, ambassadors for Christ. We have the ministry of reconciliation, and we have been given the word of reconciliation. We've learned about the ambassador's message, that it's the gospel that we're to take into the world. We've learned about the ambassador's character, that it matters. The kind of life that we live matters. That if we've been saved by the gospel, it changes the way we live our life. And having that character that matches our message matters. Last week, we kind of walked through the method, and I tried to give you some practicalities, some steps for how we take the gospel to others. In particular, we begin, does anybody remember what we start with?
Prayer.
We pray first. We pray for ourselves. We pray for the lost, but we need to be bathing our efforts in prayer. It needs to be saturated with prayer before we take the gospel out. A couple of the other practicalities, just start conversations with people. You got to talk to people if you're going to give them the gospel. And then turn the conversation to the things of God, like Jesus did. He went from talking about ordinary water to talking about the living water. And we talked about how we can use gospel tracts as a good way to change the conversation to the spiritual. And so we want to change that conversation to the spiritual. We talked about the practicality of using the law to bring the conviction of sin. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Try that one more time. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And it's the law that convicts us of sin. It shows us that we're dead, and it brings us to the realization. I was talking about this, I think it was Jonathan, in some of his schoolwork. We were talking about how the Pharisees were blind, but they didn't know they were blind, so they couldn't receive their sight. And the way Jesus works is you have to understand your blindness before you can be made whole. And we say it a lot. You got to get somebody lost before you can get them saved. And that's the whole point of the law. The law shows you that you need a Savior. And so we want to use the law lawfully to bring conviction of sin. And so we use the law, and then we give grace. It's law to the proud, grace to the humble. Law to the proud, grace to the humble. And once somebody realizes that they are broken, that they are dead in their trespasses and sins, then we can preach Jesus to them, and it makes sense. When you know that you're dead and on your way to hell, you need a Savior. And so then you preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen again. And that's the hope of the gospel. So we want to give people the gospel. We want to call them to repentance and faith Jesus came preaching, repent and believe the gospel. I don't think you and I are going to improve on his message. If Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel, I think that's a good message for us to preach. And so we call them to repentance of faith, and then we encourage them to continue on. Listen, Jesus is not a cosmic fire escape from hell. Amen. He is the sovereign creator and the sacrificial savior, and we want to follow him. We want to live for the one who died for us and rose again. So we call people not just to repeat a prayer and believe on him, but to trust in him with all their heart and to follow him with all their lives. We ought to talk to them about baptism. We ought to talk to them about living for Jesus and connecting with his church that he is building. And so all of those things are a part of it. We want to move on to that. Today, I want to talk to you about the obstacles that come. So we looked at chapter 5 a couple of weeks ago. We looked at some things in chapter 6. Look at chapter 7, if you would, please. Chapter 7 in 2 Corinthians, and start at verse 2. He says, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. And just hear Paul's heart for the church at Corinth. He loved them. He was willing to spend and to be spent for them. And we live and die for you, he says, with you, for you. Verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforts those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Now, I just want you to back up and stop for a second. Think about the Apostle Paul, him and the other missionaries, all the things that they endured. I mean, they went through a lot to take the gospel to others, did they not? I mean, they faced persecution, imprisonment, beatings, stonings, beating with rods, all the things that they faced in that, not to mention just traveling. They had to face people who would rob them along the way. There were bandits that they had to go through. There were terrors and treacherous just traveling up and down mountain passes, through the sea, shipwreck. I mean, just over and over, there were all these things on the outside they faced. And then he says, within were fears. Now, when I read about the Apostle Paul and everything that he did for the Lord Jesus, I don't see a lot of fear. But yet he confesses here that we had fears within, and certainly I would be terrified. So you think about all that they endured and what they were willing to do to get the gospel to them, and then how they had great comfort. Why? Because Titus went and found out how they were doing and was able to tell them, listen, Paul, they responded well to the letter that you sent them. They have repented and they are turning to the Lord and they're continuing on in the faith that you delivered to them. And he was comforted to know that they hadn't believed in vain. Amen. That it was real, that it was genuine. Okay, so that's kind of the picture I want you to get. And I want to talk to you this afternoon about the reality that there are obstacles that we're going to face. Troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. And we face the same things today. Amen. We face the same things today. I want you to understand that resistance to the gospel should be expected. Amen. If you've never shared the gospel with anybody before, you may not be ready for this, so I want you to be ready. If you've shared the gospel before, then you've experienced this, and I don't want you to be discouraged by it. Look at what the Lord said in John 15:18. In John 15:18, the Lord says to his disciples, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. And I just want you to get this. You're going to face rejection by people. Amen. You're going to face resistance. there are going to be obstacles between you and preaching the gospel to other people, and you should expect it. You shouldn't be surprised by it. Did everybody who hear Jesus just run and fall down at his feet and call him Master and Lord and Savior? No, they rejected him. They hated him. They despised him. They tried to figure out how to kill him. And if Jesus endured that, why would you think it's going to be any better for you? And I want to tell you, around here, it is better for us.
Amen.
Because most of the time, even if somebody rejects you, they're not going to try to kill you.
Amen.
I'm not saying they won't, but I'm saying it's not likely that they're going to threaten your life.
Amen.
Although my brother-in-law did get threatened with a shotgun one time, but that's Steve Spires. And I mean, who hasn't wanted to threaten him with a shotgun before? That's mostly a joke for those of you that are really concerned right now. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
If somebody rejects you, it does not mean that you failed. It doesn't mean that you failed. It doesn't mean that you should quit or that you shouldn't try anymore. If somebody rejects you, it doesn't mean that the gospel is ineffective.
Amen.
It's not a problem with you. It's not a problem with the gospel. It's a problem with the one you're talking to. And don't take it personally. I know people say that all the time. How could I not take it personally? But don't take it personally, because they haven't rejected you. They've rejected God.
Amen.
So don't let it discourage you. A lot of times, if somebody's getting hostile with you and rejecting you, the reality is that you are being effective.
Right.
That the gospel is working.
Amen.
That's how you know, because they are getting hostile because they are convicted.
Amen.
And so they lash out at you because you're the messenger. And we often do that, right? We shoot the messenger. It's not their fault. They have a message. And so don't take it personally, and don't think that you're failing just because you face problems. Now, he talked about fears within, and I want to walk through a few things with you this afternoon. These are some of the top reasons people give for not sharing the gospel. And how many of you could say this afternoon, sometimes I have a hard time sharing my faith with other people? Could you guys admit to that? Sometimes I have a hard time sharing my faith. Maybe some of you guys are like, no, dude, I do it all the time. Doesn't bother me at all. But for me, sometimes I struggle. And so I want to give you these. One of the number one reasons people fail to share the gospel is they have fear and anxiety about sharing the gospel. 22% of people from the Jesus Film Project survey said fear keeps them from sharing their faith, and fear was far and away the most significant deterrent. People are afraid of rejection. People are afraid of hostility. They are afraid they'll come across as pushy. They're afraid to start an argument. And so over and over, people are afraid of offending somebody, or afraid of a lot of reasons is the number one reason people don't want to share the gospel. So I want to ask you this afternoon, have you ever been afraid?
Amen.
Yeah, me too. I'm afraid I'm going to start an argument. I'm afraid they're going to reject me. I'm afraid that I'm going to mess up, that I'm not going to do a good job. Fear holds us back.
Amen.
Perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
Sounds like a lot of you guys know that one. Perfect love casts out fear. What does that mean? It means if I love Jesus and I love the person that I'm talking to, that love will overcome
Amen.
My fears. Ray Comfort says, let your fears drive you to your knees.
Amen.
Let your fears drive you to your knees. What does that mean? I'm afraid, Lord, I know I need to share the gospel with this person. Maybe it's a family member, a coworker, a classmate, whatever it is. You have a burden for somebody. I want to share the gospel with them, and you're afraid. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I have anxiety about it. Let that fear drive you to your knees. Don't push on in your own strength.
Amen.
Go to God and say, God, help me. Help me to overcome my fears. Give me courage. Give me boldness to be a witness to them. So love them. Pray about it. And remember this, the righteous are as bold as a lion. If you have unconfessed and unrepented sin in your life, you're not going to have boldness.
Amen.
So get a clean slate with God. Get your heart right with him, and it's going to give you boldness. If you're walking in holiness and righteousness through the power of the Spirit, then you're going to have boldness that you couldn't have otherwise. So get a right heart, pray, and love them. I love Ray Comfort. He's a huge encouragement to me in evangelism. And if you've never watched any of his videos, he's easy to find on YouTube. But I love Ray. And one of the things he says, you guys are worried about the fear of men. He's like, I'm terrified of women. Talk about the fear of man. What about women? But he's just a funny guy, but it's true. It doesn't matter. Like, we're afraid of everybody. But we don't have to be afraid when we're taking the gospel. So next time you have an opportunity and you feel that fear and anxiety kind of creeping up in your heart, just stop and pray. Amen. And ask God to give you the courage. And I know that he will. I know that he will because I've experienced it. The second thing I'd tell you about is a perceived lack of opportunity. 17% of people in that same survey said they didn't have opportunities to share their faith. And another 4% said they couldn't find an appropriate time. Now, I think most of you in this room understand that opportunities are everywhere. Okay? Listen, they're everywhere. You're like, well, I never leave my house. I'm just at home. Well, okay, you're on social media. There's opportunities everywhere on social media. Like, we're really without excuse. Opportunities abound. But the part that does resonate with me is the idea that says, I couldn't find an appropriate time. Have you guys ever struggled with that? I got this guy at work. I want to talk to you about Jesus. And I'm just looking for the right time. I'm just looking for the right opportunity. I'm waiting for the door to open. And I'm waiting for the perfect moment to bring up Jesus to this person. Has anybody else ever struggled with that? I'm looking for just the right time. Well, when is the day of salvation? When? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. There's no better day than today. There's never no better time than now. And I just want to tell you that you're thinking about it. I know because I've been there. I've had somebody on my heart at work before, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. And all of a sudden, God just puts this opportunity. Everyone else vanishes. It's just me and this guy. And I'm thinking, I just need the right opportunity. Well, how stupid do I have to be? Like the Lord just vanished everyone else. It's just me and this person. What other opportunity do I need? Can I say this? Who cares if other people are around? Maybe they need to hear about it too. Listen, you're in that moment. The person is there in front of you, and it's in your mind. You're thinking about how you need to witness to them. I don't know what bigger billboard God needs to put in your brain to say now. Now is the time. But we do that. We're waiting for the conversation to just turn that direction. And I want to tell you, with shame this afternoon, there have been many times that God has just teed it up for me and I walked away. I'm just talking about, you guys understand what I'm saying? Like the Lord came, he put the ball on the tee. Right? The bat is in my hand. And I just like turn around and walk off. Like people, I've been in opportunities where people bring up death. Like just out of nowhere. We're talking about nothing and all of a sudden they're talking about death. And that's a tremendous opportunity to talk about Jesus and the hope of the gospel. And I have turned and walked away. God forgive me for missing opportunities. People say there aren't opportunities. Opportunities are everywhere. And don't wait for the perfect moment. If you're there with another human being and it's in your mind, it's time. It's time. So pray. Pray and ask God to help you. Next, one of the other reasons people give is feeling unprepared or unequipped. Unprepared or unequipped. People said they didn't feel equipped to share their faith, and they often tied their worries about not being prepared to being able to handle people's questions. They didn't feel qualified. They didn't feel like they had the ability. And so I'm going to tell you today, the reason we're having these classes on being ambassadors for Christ is to eliminate this reason. I want to try to give you as much as I can, as many biblical truths and practicalities as I can to equip you to share your faith. Now, I believe this. If you're saved, you know enough to be a witness. Now, that's my conviction. If you knew enough to repent and trust in Jesus, you know enough to tell somebody else how they can repent and trust in Jesus. But I understand that we want to be more equipped than that, and I think we should be. We're supposed to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of the reason for the hope of our faith. And so we want to be equipped to be apologetic. The word apologetics means a defense. We want to be ready to give a defense of our faith. And so we should grow, we should equip ourselves, But friends, we really have no excuse to say, I don't know enough to tell somebody how to be saved. We all know enough to tell somebody how to be saved if we are saved.
Right.
So, but it is good to have times like this, to have studies like this, to have lessons like this, to watch videos like Living Waters and Ray Comfort or Mark Spence or anybody else, to read books by men like Charles Spurgeon and his book, The Soul Winner, or John Coleman's Master Plan of Evangelism. There's all kinds of resources out there to help us and to bolster our ability to share the gospel with other people. So if you feel unprepared, get prepared.
Amen.
Okay, you guys all right? I understand today I have a responsibility as your pastor to try to equip you to share the faith. That's why we're doing this. But you understand, as a follower of Jesus, you have a responsibility to prepare yourself, right? And you're like, hey, listen, those classes we did on Sunday afternoon, they were okay, but I still don't feel prepared. Who is stopping you from studying? Who's stopping you from buying books? Who's stopping you from doing more to get yourself ready? So get yourself prepared. We all have, I mean, we have so many resources available to us today, but most of all, we have the Spirit that He has put within us. And what an ally. Who does the Spirit convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment? We read it this morning. Yeah, he says the world. When the Comforter comes, he says, it's expedient for you that I go away, because if I go not away, the Comforter won't come. And when he comes into the world, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. So what's the Spirit doing? When the Spirit lives in you, he's empowering you to preach the gospel. What's he doing in the person you're talking to? He's convicting them.
Amen.
So he's on that side convicting them of sin and righteousness and judgment. He's on your side giving you the words to say, bringing to remembrance the things that Jesus has taught you. He's giving you the power to preach the gospel, and he's convicting them of the gospel.
Amen.
Pretty cool, isn't it? It's great to know you got somebody on your side. And who better to have on your side than the Spirit of the living God?
Amen.
And so you don't have to be afraid, and you don't have to feel under-equipped or unprepared, because he's given you the gospel, and he's given you the Spirit, and he is at work. Number four, there has been a change in the sense of responsibility for evangelism. In 1993, way back in the 1900s, how many of you can remember 1993? Remember those days? All right. Way back in 1993, 89% of Christians agreed every Christian has a responsibility to share their faith. Okay? 89%. By 2018, that number dropped to 64%. And since 2018, I don't have the newest numbers, but I am confident that it's dropped even more. Christians today don't share the gospel because they don't think they're responsible to share the gospel. I remember talking to a missionary one time, and he traveled a lot, and I haven't traveled a ton, but every time I've flown anywhere, if I sit by a stranger, I always feel compelled to share the gospel with them. And I get super nervous about it. Like, I don't know who's going to sit next to me. I don't know what they're going to be. I don't know how they're going to respond, but I'm like thinking about it, and I'm praying about it. And when I sit next to a stranger on an airplane, I'm thinking, I've got to share the gospel with this person.
Amen.
I just got that stuff in my mind. I don't know about you, but I remember talking to a missionary one time, and I said, I feel this responsibility. Like, I feel like I have to share the gospel with them. And I'm looking for some help. I'm looking for some encouragement. I'm looking for somebody to back me up. And like, yeah, I understand. This is what I do. And he said, I don't really feel compelled to do that at all. And it bothers me to this day. I think we have a responsibility to take the gospel to everybody we come in contact with.
Amen.
Do you?
Amen.
Well, you can pray about that and operate how the Spirit leads you, but I'm just thinking that go preach the gospel to every creature would include the guy sitting next to me on the airplane. One time I was on a flight, Southwest Airlines has open seating. You guys know about that? You don't assign seating. So if the plane goes down, they'll never know where you were sitting, but it's a whole nother thing. I sat next to this guy. I'm trying to witness to him on the flight. He didn't want to hear it. So I tried to, you know, make sure I gave him the gospel and then kind of leave him alone. And we were staying on the same plane at another exchange. And man, as soon as we landed, that guy was like, I'm going to go move up front and get a different seat. He didn't want to hear anymore. You know what? Broke my heart.
Amen.
But he didn't reject me. He rejected the gospel. He rejected the Savior. I just want to tell you, we have a responsibility, no matter what the majority of Christians in America may think, we have a responsibility to do evangelism.
Amen.
We are ambassadors for Christ. We are. What a change. What a change. Number five. Not only is it just a broad, universal Christian thing that the numbers of people who feel that responsibility have changed, but generationally, attitudes are different. 47% of practicing Christian millennials agreed it is wrong to share one's personal beliefs with someone of a different faith. 47% of millennials, this is in 2019, agreed with the statement, it is wrong to share one's personal beliefs with someone of a different faith. Almost half of millennials. Not just to say, I don't have a responsibility for it, but to go beyond that and say, it's wrong for you to share your beliefs with somebody who's different. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul felt that way? Like, Jesus comes down and meets him and says, Paul, I want you to go and meet this man named Ananias. He's going to heal your blindness, and I want you to follow me because I've got a work for you to do. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. You know what the Gentiles believed? Something different.
Amen.
All kinds of different stuff. But God called him to take the gospel to them. And do you know where we would be today if those early apostles and evangelists and missionaries in the early churches didn't take the gospel to people with different beliefs?
Amen.
Well, we wouldn't exist today.
Right.
How tragic.
Amen.
How tragic. This is a staggering statistic to me, and it teaches us that people don't understand the gospel.
Amen.
There's a prevailing idea in our country today that if you just believe in God, that you're okay. Just believe in God and be a good person, you'll be okay. There is salvation in no other name.
Amen.
Under heaven, given among men, besides the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And by the way, all of these other religions in the world, practicing Hinduism or Muslims or any other religion that's out there, nobody that was teaching them claimed to be a savior. Nobody. Jesus is the only one who claimed to be the savior of the world.
Amen.
And proved it by laying down his life and taking it up again. One more I want to give you. These things within. To summarize it, we could just say this. Disinterest or low motivation. Studies have shown high percentages of believers who know they are called to evangelize but don't act on it. One report said 80% know they're called to evangelize, yet 61% had not had a spiritual conversation in the last 6 months. In other words, one of the biggest things that we have inside of us is a knowledge that we should do it, but the lack of a will to follow through.
Amen.
You guys ever struggle with that in anything in life?
Sure.
All right, let me see if I can find a example that might hit home. Do you ever know that you should not eat cake? Or pie? What else was back there a while ago? It was tough standing at the dessert table, wasn't it? Like, I saw some of you standing there for a long time. Like, I don't know what I'm going to eat that I shouldn't right now. Right? Listen, I don't think, just as a side note, not that it matters to any of you, I don't think there's anything wrong with having an occasional treat. I think it's okay. I think most of us have a hard time with the occasional. It's the hard thing that we have there. I think most of us in the room know that we ought to eat right and exercise. But knowing that and doing it, there's usually a disconnect. And I don't think there's anybody in this room or watching online right now that doesn't know I should be a witness for Jesus. But knowing so and doing so are different. Which, by the way, I think that when we practice discipline in every area of our lives, it helps us in every area of our life. Okay? If I know that I ought to exercise and I discipline my body to exercise even when I don't feel like it, which is almost every day, I don't feel like it. But if I can discipline my body to do it anyway, then it's going to help me that when I'm faced with an opportunity to evangelize and I don't want to, my flesh doesn't want to, I'll do it anyway. You guys tracking with that? Man, isn't it everything? I mean, how many of you wake up in the morning and sometimes you're just like, I don't feel like praying? Anybody? Like, sometimes I would rather do almost anything than read my Bible. I'm just telling you the truth. But I know that if I'll pray and read my Bible, I'm the better for it and my Savior's pleased. Amen. So sometimes I don't feel like sharing the gospel. Sometimes I think I'm too busy. I'm in a hurry, whatever other excuse I want to make. I'm afraid, I'm scared of how they're going to respond. Whatever excuse you can come up with, I'm just telling you that if you'll be obedient to Jesus, he'll help you. Amen. And I promise you, you're never going to walk away saying, man, I wish I'd have never told them the gospel. Amen. Never going to walk away saying, man, I wish I'd have just kept that to myself. God help us if we do. Amen. The gospel's for everybody, even if they spit in our face. Well, there's more to say. I wanted to talk about the inside. Next time, we'll talk about the outside reasons, the things from the outside. He talked about fears within and fightings without. And so we're going to talk about some of the objections that people have. I'm going to try to give you, Lord willing, next Sunday, the top 10 objections that people have to the gospel and try to give you some answers for those. Remember, apologetics is the defense of our faith, so we want to have some answers to those common questions that people have. But I would be remiss if I neglected to talk to you about your homework. Challenges. I know. So the challenge all along has been for you to write in your own words a gospel presentation that you could give to someone in 60 seconds or less. I hope that you've done that. The last time I told you and I asked you to send that, your own personal, what you've written down, send it to at least one person. Did anybody do that last week? Send it to at least one person? Okay, what are you waiting for? Type it up on your phone, send it in a text, email it, write it down in a card, but get the gospel in your own words and send it to somebody else, at least one person. You guys are supposed to be, I've challenged you to be friendly to people everywhere you go. How's that going for you? Pretty good at being friendly? Pretty good at smiling and saying, hi, how are you? Good. All right. Then the next part of that was to give a gospel tract to somebody that you greeted along the way. Did anybody do that? Come on, y'all are killing me. I'm not asking you to boast. I'm trying to keep you accountable. Could you just sit, nod your head or just say no if you didn't? You greeted somebody and you said, hey, can I give you one of these? Okay. I got a text message or a message. I don't remember how it came to me, but somebody said that they went through the drive-through at McDonald's, yes, and they got to give a gospel tract to somebody at the first window and to somebody at the next window. See, it works. And I'm going to tell you this, those thank you tracts, man, they are so, so handy. And I'm going to tell you this, people in the service industry really have thankless jobs a lot of time. Their bosses don't thank them. Most of the patrons they deal with, the customers don't thank them. So when you hand them a tract that says thank you on it and say thank you, it means something to them. Amen. And if they'll open it and read the gospel, it'll mean everything to them. Amen. They'll believe the word of God. So be friendly, hand out a gospel tract. I ask you guys to think about current events and how to turn those topics into gospel conversations. Anybody have any more ideas on current events that we could turn into gospel conversations? A lot of bad stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of
bad stuff. And I would just say that this is what happens in a nation
Okay.
I would plug it in that way.
We can definitely look at the negative and say this nation needs Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. Right.
When we went up to Tulsa and handed these out, we weren't the only church there doing
it. Right.
Others.
Good.
So we had good conversations with fellow soul winners, but also good conversations with people that were interested in something like this. I wonder if we can get more of these somehow.
No, you bet. The Beatles ones, I don't know, but there are always some million-dollar bill tracks that are relevant. Yeah. Amen. It's good. It's good. Even a Beatles concert can be a segue to the gospel. Segue. Good word. What else?
There's a current event happening down in Texas right now. I don't know if anybody's seen the revival that's broken out at one of the colleges. And a lot of people are, you know, oh, it's not real. It's not real, you know. Who am I to say that what's going on down there? Because I'm not there.
Right. Amen.
There are kids that are sleeping there because they feel like they're disobedient if they leave. And they canceled classes. The president has canceled classes. So when you see stuff like that and people are trying to put it down, you know, say, how do you know? You know God.
Yeah.
You know what the Spirit of God feels like. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's a huge opportunity. And it's broken out. And there's a university in Florida that it's broken out, too.
Okay. Right.
And I mean, it's happening.
Yeah.
We've got to prepare ourselves for the Spirit of God.
Amen. Yeah, so when you start seeing revivals break out, everybody's got an opinion about everything. And so anybody you talk to could be on the opinion of, yeah, I think that's awesome what God's doing, or I don't know if that's real, or I don't even believe in that, whatever. But even the topic can lead to a conversation about the gospel. It's good. I know the Super Bowl's old news now, but man, everybody was talking about the halftime shows and the two different halftime shows, whether you watched Bad Bunny or you watched the All-American halftime show or whether you didn't watch any of it at all. But it was a heavy topic, a lot of people talking about it. And when you see a lot of people talking about something, it's an opportunity to bring the gospel into it, right? Kid Rock, whatever his real name is. I can't ever remember it. What's his name? Robert Ritchie. Thank you. So Robert Ritchie, his crazy performance, and then he turns around and sings a country song, and at the end of it, he talks about dusting off our Bibles and a man who died on a cross for our sins. And listen, whatever you think about all that, I don't even care. That's not the point. The point is that you can use it to talk about the gospel. It's not about debating the issues. It's about using the issues that are being debated to talk about the gospel. And I think that that's one of our biggest problems, is that we keep trying to argue the arguments. I'm not here to argue with people. I'm here to preach Jesus. And so that's what you want to use. Whatever the opportunities are that are out there, whatever the event is, whatever the topic is, figure out a way to turn it to Jesus. Okay, so that was the next thing, and always do that. Always be mindful of that. What you see in the headlines, just think about it. How can I use this headline to talk about Jesus? And always be mindful. Okay, so the next challenge that I have for you, I ask you to just a stranger that you meet walking in a store at a gas station or whatever, just hand them a gospel tract and say, hey, can I give you some good news, okay? So that was that. But this time, this week, my challenge for all of us is to go out of our way to find somebody who's not saved and give them the gospel. Now, maybe that's at a gas station, and maybe you're going to have to talk to 10 people before you find one who's not a believer. So be it. Maybe you know somebody. Maybe you know someone personally who's not saved.
Amen.
And what I'm asking you to do is personally go out of your way to talk to them about Jesus. Now, they may live in another state or another country, but you can talk to them online. You can email them. You can text them. You can call them. We got ways to communicate with everybody, right?
Amen.
Okay? So the challenge this week is to find somebody who's not a believer and give them at least a gospel tract, whether it's digitally or in person. Give them a gospel tract. Put the gospel in their possession. Find an unbeliever and give them the gospel. Everybody understand? Be good? Okay. Now, I know a lot of you guys don't like this, that I'm giving you homework and asking you to do things and get you out of your comfort zone. But listen to me. There's a method to the madness. Okay? It's baby steps.
Amen.
Just being friendly. Leaving tracks wherever you go. We're building up. We're progressing. Because we as a church must be ambassadors.
Amen.
It's not an option. And we have to stop treating it like it's an option. Let's stand together. Don't measure your success by acceptance. Measure your success by faithfulness. It's not your job to save them. It's your job to sow and water. God's job is to give the increase. So don't be discouraged if you get rejected. Keep doing the work. Keep fighting the good fight. Father, I thank you for this time around your word with your people. Lord, our flesh is so weak, but our spirits are willing. Please give us strength in our spirit. Help us to overcome the fears and the things that hold us back. And help us to be empowered by your spirit to do the work you've called us to do. Thank you so much for a great day together. And I just pray that you'll bless our fellowship. Help us to grow in your grace. Please be with those who are sick and hurting among us. We ask especially that you'll bless Sister Vicky while she's still staying in the hospital. Just give her grace, and Brother Frank. Be with all the many other prayer requests, those who are battling cancer, families who have lost loved ones. And Lord, especially we pray for the lost. We pray for our lost family members and friends, coworkers and classmates, people that we know who don't know you. Please work in their hearts. Soften their hearts that they be receptive to the gospel. And give us the courage and the boldness that we need to take the gospel to them faithfully and consistently. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to see souls saved because of your work in and through us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here this afternoon. Any last words before?